Last week, I shared around God's mercy. And God's mercy is not receiving what we deserve. And we had a glimpse into God's mercy. Today, I want to speak about God's grace. God's grace is receiving more than what we deserve. Mercy is not receiving what we deserve, but grace is receiving more than what we deserve. And so last week we looked at the fact that we were all once dead in our sin, enemies of God, children of wrath, like the rest of humanity, but God had mercy on us by sending His own Son to be a sacrifice on our behalf. The punishment that we deserved was placed on Him so that we may be set free. And so God's mercy came at a cost towards us, so that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That was last week. Today I'm going to look at grace and what grace is, receiving more than what we deserve. So what is God's grace in our lives? God's grace is undeserved blessings freely bestowed on us, getting more than what we deserve. It is a God's goodness and love and kindness towards us. Mercy and grace are very closely linked in that neither of the two we deserve. It's not something that we earn or achieve. It is something that is given to us as a gift, lest any man should boast. Grace is not only central to the Christian doctrine, it is also central to our life and experience in our relationship with God. Everything that we have from Him is grace. It is not earned. It is grace. It is always grace. There's nothing earned in our relationship with God. He loves us, not because of what we have done, but because of who He is and His grace towards us. God's grace is so rich and wonderful. It has so many different aspects. Paul writes that only in the ages to come, when we go into heaven, will we one day realize the full extent of God's grace. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And so one day we will fully understand this grace that we have. So today I want to share just one or two aspects of God's grace. I cannot possibly mention and spend enough time to justify the very little that we do know of God's grace, which is so much, that I'm just going to share one or two thoughts around God's grace. So please forgive me if I do not speak of all the aspects of God's grace. God's grace is towards all mankind. He sustains creation and humanity by grace. In Matthew 5 verse 45, we read that He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. It's not that we deserve it. It is undeserved favor that He sustains and He cares for all of humanity. But most of all, God's grace is seen in how He sent His Son to die for us so that we may be saved through Him as an atoning sacrifice. In John 3 verse 14 to 16, we read that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that who should ever believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. That whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life is grace. It's undeserved. You know, John 3:16 so powerfully puts mercy and grace together. God has given man free will to choose life or death. But without grace, we would still be lost. There was a moment in our lives, by God's grace, that we had to make a choice, either to believe God and receive Christ or reject His offer of salvation. It remains a deep mystery that is far beyond our limited human understanding, God's grace. Theologians debate for centuries over God's election and our free will, but one thing stands firm. Without God's grace, you and I would not be saved. And so 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The new has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore ambassadors, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. What a powerful good news we have been given as ambassadors to share with this world. God is the one who took initiative in my salvation. It was God who took the first step. I was lost, broken, and sinful. I was at the point of suicide. And at the moment I wanted to take my life, God took the initiative. It wasn't me. It was God. It was God that called out to me and said, stop. And when I said, why? It was God who said, because I love you. Because I've already died for you. It was not I who took the initiative in my salvation. It was God who took the initiative. It was His grace. It wasn't my merit. It wasn't my strength or my will. He was the one who took the first step. I only responded. And that's the whole point of grace. Grace doesn't start with us. It starts with God. It is not earned or merited by us. It is freely, lovingly given to us. 1 John 4 verse 10 says, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then verse 19, we read, therefore, we love Him because He first loved us. And so God took the initiative to stop me from killing myself. He took the initiative to save me. He took the initiative to save you, to reveal Himself to you, that we may see His mercy, understand His grace, and respond to Him. God took the initiative when I had no will or power to do so. I only had to respond. As a matter of fact, that love that He showed me was at work 2,000 years ago. Romans 5, we read, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man, one will die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So when we were without strength, powerless, still enemies of God, under God's wrath, like the rest of mankind, God had mercy on us and showed us His grace, His unmerited favor, revealing Himself to us in a moment of time, and all we had to do was to respond in faith. God's grace opened my eyes to His mercy and love. I could only respond in faith by choosing to believe what He said is true. Choosing to surrender my life and accept His offer of salvation. Ephesians, we read last time, says it this way, from verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love which He loved us, when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He may show the immeasurable riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Can you really separate mercy and grace? You can't. It's two sides of the same coin. God's grace is His unmerited favor towards me and you, and it is over and above forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins is God's mercy. Not my doing, not my great understanding even of who He is, but God's mercy towards me. It was not my doing. It was not my works. God's forgiveness of my sin is mercy. As a matter of fact, because of my doing, my works, I need mercy. And so it wasn't anything that I did to achieve God's mercy. It was His love towards me. And so I have received forgiveness. I have received not what I deserved, but I received mercy and forgiveness. God's grace is over and above forgiveness. God's grace is everything He gives me over and above forgiving me. That's called grace. Grace is more than forgiveness. It is eternal life. It is being adopted into the family of God. It is being seated with Christ. It is being called a co-heir with Christ. It has been given an inheritance that is waiting for me. That is all grace. Undeserved, unmerited favor. Just to name a few things. How should we respond to this great favor, this great grace that we have received, which we did not deserve? I deserve nothing, yet He has given me everything. I've not just been forgiven as a sinner, I've been adopted into His family. I bear His name. He is my Father. I have an inheritance. This is far greater than forgiveness. It's grace. Unmerited favor. I deserve nothing, yet He has given me everything. God's grace is not my own doing. It is not a result of my works, my strength. It is a gift of God so that no one can boast. I cannot boast in that what I have received. None of us can. We cannot boast, nor demand, nor be entitled to God's grace. We cannot boast, demand, or be entitled to His favor. It is grace. I am not entitled to anything here in this life. I was dead in my sin. I was an enemy of God, and I was under His wrath, and He had mercy on me. And He saved me, by grace, gave me eternal life. What am I entitled to? Nothing. Nothing. All that I have, all that I receive, is just grace. Nothing else. My wife, my children, my house, my work, my health, everything that I have. I'm not entitled to anything. I just have His grace. That's it. It's His grace. So how should we respond to this grace? Not with entitlement. Not with a demand. But with absolute thankfulness. Worship. Humility. Surrender. God, thank you for your grace. I'm not entitled to anything here. The only thing that I'm entitled to is hell. That's it. I was a sinner. I was dead. I was lost. But He had mercy on us. He had mercy on me. He had mercy on you. And He gave us not just forgiveness. He gave us eternal life. Adoption into His family. He made us a co-heir with Christ. An inheritance waiting for us. We are just passing through on our way to what is waiting for us. That's called grace. Even my righteous works are like filthy rags before Him. We spoke about it last week. I do not earn anything through my works. All the good blessing and success that I have, that I receive, is His grace. Even though I may work hard, I do not deserve or entitled to be blessed by God. It's just grace. It is simply grace. All the favor and blessing that I receive is grace. Paul understood this and he wrote in 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. Though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." I do not deserve anything, Paul says. Yet He gave me everything. It is called unmerited favor. It's called grace. Paul says, even the office as an apostle that I have, the hard work that I do, the success that I have, it's all unmerited favor. It's grace. So that no one may boast or be entitled. What would be the opposite of boasting and entitlement? Humility and thanksgiving. That's all we have, is humility and thanksgiving. That's the only thing that we should stand upon, is humility and thanksgiving. I am nothing. You are everything, and You've given me everything. I am eternally thankful for what You have given me through Christ. How should we respond to God's mercy and unmerited favor? Jesus once encountered 10 lepers. It's such a beautiful picture. Now it happened when He went to Jerusalem and He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as He entered a certain village, there met Him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And so when He saw them, He said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so as it was that they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down at His face, at His feet, giving Him thanks. He was a Samaritan. And so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to them, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. How should we respond to this great grace that we have received? With faith, obedience, thankfulness, worship, and loyalty. Like this leper did. In faith he obeyed. He received. He returned. Thankfully worshiping God. Loyal to Him forever. The Bible summarizes these responses as love. It's called love. Love leads us to be thankful and to worship God. Love leads us to be absolutely loyal to the one who saved us. Love leads us to obedience. And thus we become disciples of Jesus as we follow Him all the days of our lives. I want us to close our eyes for a moment as the band comes up. I want us to consider our response. Our response to His mercy and grace in our salvation. Just for a moment, as your eyes are closed, let's reflect on the fact that we were once dead. We were lost. But because of His mercy, He saved us. And by His grace, He has given us eternal life. Just for a moment, consider that you too were once dead. But God had mercy on you. You once were an enemy of God. But He not only forgave you. Now He adopted you. How will you respond? How will you be thankful? How will you worship Him? How will you be devoted to Him? How will you obey Him? Just take a moment. Reflect on these things. And in your own words, respond to Him. Just in your own words. While your eyes are closed, and we are responding to God in thankfulness, in worship, devotion, and obedience. I just believe God is asking us, are there anything you're holding back? In your response to God's mercy and grace, is there anything you are holding back? Are there anything you think that you have earned? Anything that you have achieved? Anything that you think Revelations 4 verse 8 to 11. Last week we read of the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest the day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before Him who sits on the throne and worshipped Him who lives forever and ever, and cast down their crowns before the throne. You know, whatever we have achieved in this life, it was just grace. But whatever we have achieved is a crown that we have earned. Maybe through our hard work or through our success or whatever you think it may be, it is a crown of grace. And the only reason we have the success, we have this blessing, we have this something that we have on our name, it's so that we can bring it to Jesus. As a crown, we can throw it down before Him and say, "Lord, this is what I achieved with Your grace. It was Yours anyway. But I want to throw it at Your feet and worship You. For You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." Lord, I thank You that we can come to You this morning. And we can, like that leper, turn back to You and say, "Thank You, Jesus, for saving us, for having mercy on us. Thank You, Jesus, for Your grace, for giving us what we do not deserve." Lord, all that we have and all that we have achieved, we throw it as crowns before Your feet and say, "Thank You, Jesus, for saving us. Only You are worthy, only You are worthy to receive the glory. Only You are worthy to receive the glory for what I have done. It wasn't me. It was You in me. It was Your favor, unmerited favor on me. So God, today I bring You my crown. I lay it at Your feet and I worship You for it, that You may receive the glory for it." While you are seated and you worship the Lord with your glory and your crown, let's just sing again, "Amazing Grace," as you speak to Him and reflect on these things. Is Father, while we are before you, God, we want to thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray that you will remind us every day of your love and your faithfulness and how little we deserve. Help us, God, not to grow arrogant in what we have and what we have achieved, or become offended by what we did not receive. Well, our inheritance is waiting for us by grace. Help us, Lord, to always be thankful, gracious, and loving towards others who also do not deserve and achieve. Lord, give us your grace to forgive the way you forgave us and to love the way you love us. Help us, Lord, to come alongside one another and be your hands and feet. Encourage one another to live for you, to serve you. Thank you, God, for your promises that we know that we belong to you. You're waiting for us, and our inheritance is still to come. It's not in this world, it's not in this life. Help us to live, God, as strangers here, as we're passing through, singing all the way of your amazing grace and sharing it with the world around us. Give us boldness. Give us faith. Most of all, give us love. May we serve you all the days of our life until we see you face to face. We ask this in Jesus' name. While the eyes are closed, if you are here and you've never given your life to Jesus, today is your day of His mercy and grace. All you need is to respond. Respond in faith. Say, God, here I am. I am a sinner. I need your grace. Please forgive me. Please save me. If that is you, will you raise your hand with me? Is there anybody here who needs to surrender their life to Him? I want to give you this opportunity right now. Is there anybody here? For the rest of us, there's someone here. Let's pray with her. Let's just stretch out our hands to this person. Father, I thank you for this precious soul that has come to you today to surrender her life to you. Lord, I thank your worship. Angels worship and rejoice. Heaven rejoice. Eternity rejoice, because another soul has come home. And it was worth it. It was worth you coming here to die so that she may have life. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will fill her heart, that you will love her, cherish her, and nourish her. Lord, I pray, Lord, that she will experience, Lord, that love, that care, that nourishment, Lord, as she surrenders to you, as she accepts you. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your cleansing. Thank you for your promise, Lord, that she may follow you all the days as a child of God. and know that she is loved, saved, redeemed. But most of all, she is a child of you. Lord, I pray for this, for every one of us, that we may never forget and live as such in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you. Thank you for coming. Hope to see you next week. Please enjoy some fellowship, some coffee, and trust to see you again next week. If you need prayer, I'll be here with some other facilitators. You're more than welcome to come for prayer.